Hello, this is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hope for Your Heart. I thank you for joining us on this Friday broadcast. And we're going into the weekend, and so I wanted to give you some joy as you enter into this weekend. And so I'm calling this message today, Joy in the Storm. And we're looking at Acts chapter 27 today, and I hope that this will be a blessing to you. But I've discovered that people are increasingly becoming more hopeless. And as they're going through times of hopelessness, I look at this coronavirus, for example. It has contributed to the hopelessness. But you know, even before COVID-19, people were fighting hopelessness. In December of 2018, the Center of Disease Control and Prevention announced that suicides and drug overdoses have decreased the life expectancy within the United States. Overall, there are 2.8 million deaths last year. Of those deaths, that's 2018, nearly 70,000 more than the previous year. The most deaths of a single year since the government began counting more than a century ago. In other words, 2018 was the deadliest year for us as Americans. You know, every year, 45,000 Americans die by suicide. Many believe that this number is really much higher because of the many drug overdoses that our culture is experiencing. Authorities are not sure if a person dies from an accidental overdose. Is that an intentional death or was that an accidental death? What is driving this epidemic of drug overdoses in our society is suicide. Dr. William Diaz, a disease prevention expert from George Washington University, said, "I really do believe that people are increasingly becoming hopeless and that this leads to drug use. It leads to more potential suicide." As you think about this whole concept, it's tempting to become hopeless about the hopelessness of our culture. But that's exactly the wrong response. I'm going to share with you today 5 reasons why we should be joyful in the midst of the storm. Again, we're in Acts chapter 27. And here's some background of Acts chapter 27. Paul and his shipmates are in the middle of a nor'easter. It's probably similar to the storm that Jonah experienced, a mighty tempest. Jonah was thrown overboard during that mighty tempest, and he couldn't see the stars for weeks. Paul finds himself in a similar situation. He says, "I'm looking at the stars in order to be plotting the course, and I can't see the stars." You see, plotting the course was not possible if they couldn't see the stars. They had no point of reference. Well, that's the storm that Paul was part of. When you're in the middle of the storm, you ever feel that way? You feel like going through this coronavirus, there's no point of reference. There's nobody alive that has experienced this pandemic. I mean, 1918 was the last major pandemic that we as a world experienced. So you feel like there's no reference. There's no point of understanding where we should go. The wind takes them from one place to another in this storm. And they're in the shoals of North Africa, an area famous for these sandy shoals or these sandbars. As they get there and they're coming along on this journey, they realize they've got to lighten the load. They start throwing the grain overboard. They start throwing all of their cargo overboard. And finally, the ship wrecks. The Apostle Paul went through many hardships in his life as he labored along to bring souls to Christ. And here we just see just another event, another challenge that he is facing. Part of the challenge that he faced was several shipwrecks. Now, can you imagine that? Most people listening to me have probably not gone through any shipwreck. But Paul goes through several shipwrecks. There are 3 accounted for in the writing of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. However, this was the 4th one that is mentioned, and this is near the end of Paul's life in Acts 27. You know, Paul always wanted to go to Rome, but he probably didn't expect to go this way. Verse after verse, sailing in the wind, still he is in the will of God, which reminds me of a very important point. Just because you're experiencing storms in your life does not mean that you are out of God's will. You see, the presence of a storm does not always mean the absence of God. Just because you are in a storm doesn't mean that you're out of the will of God. How many times have you made plans and God changes things for you? Should I even make plans? Well, James says this, if the Lord wills, this is how we should live our lives. If the Lord wills, we would do such and such. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. This is what the Lord declares. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I want you to know that even if you're going through a storm in your life, there are things that God is going to be doing in the midst of that storm. You can't see them just yet because the clouds have blocked the vision that you have of the stars, but God is up to something. You know, things may be desperate for you right now, but regardless of how bad they may appear, you can be joyful. And here are five reasons that you can have joy in the middle of a storm. And the first one is the fact that God has his people in place. We're in Acts chapter 27, verses 1 through 3. When it was decided that we would sail to Italy, Paul and some of the other prisoners handed them over to the centurion named Julius, who belonged to the imperial regiment. We boarded a ship from that area, and we sailed the ports to the west of Asia, and we put out to sea. So we see the first person that God had in place was a centurion by the name of Julius. We're going to see here in verse number 2, there's a second person that God had in place, a guy by the name of Archimaeus. And this is a particular individual that was a fellow inmate there with the Apostle Paul. They become friends together. Verse number 3 says, the next day they sailed to Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends that they might provide for his needs. You see, God always puts the right people in the right place at the right time. When we drop down to verses 42 to 43, we discover that the soldiers were planning to kill the prisoners because of the shipwreck that has taken place. They thought for sure that all of the prisoners were going to escape. So they said, well, to prevent that from happening, to prevent them from jumping overboard and swimming to the island, they said, we're just going to kill them. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life. Who is that? Julius, the guy that Paul met as they're going on this ship in the beginning. Isn't this amazing how God places the right people at the right place at the right time? This centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and to get to the land. Aristotle said this about friends and the power of the right people at the right place at the right time. The antidote for 50 enemies, he said, is one friend. You know, even in this day of social media where we are capable of connecting with great numbers of people all at once, the reality of friendship still remains true. A man can count his true friends probably on one hand. Cherish and honor these relationships. Of all the resources that we can draw upon in our times of need, our friends are the most valuable. We see that God brought Julius into the life of the Apostle Paul. God also brought Aristarchus to the Apostle Paul, this fellow prisoner who encouraged him. We read in Acts 18, 9 through 10, then the Lord said to Paul in a night vision, don't be afraid, but keep on speaking. Don't be silent, for I am with you. And no one will lay a hand on you or nobody will hurt you. And this is a phrase I love. Don't miss this phrase. God says through an angel, through a vision to Paul at night, I have my people in this city. Paul, don't be afraid to go. I've got my people already in place. You know, I remember when we started our church, and as we began the first week of our church, we met an old friend of my wife's, and we hadn't seen this couple in 10 years, and I had never actually met this couple. They went to school with my wife when she lived here in the Chesapeake area. And we start our services. We have our first worship service, and this couple shows up. And as they come to this service, they said, this is amazing how God has brought us together. And they said to us, you don't know this, but we have been praying for the last year that God would send somebody to start a church here in our community within 10 miles of our home. And they said to us, you are an answer to our prayer. And we quickly responded and said, oh, no, wait a minute, you're an answer to our prayer. We started praying over a year ago before moving to Chesapeake, and we prayed that God would guide us. And as you know, Chesapeake's a pretty big city. I mean, it's well spread out. And God had a design in place, a purpose in place, and he ordered our steps. And we began to pray, Lord, if we're going to start a church, we don't have any money, we don't have any congregation, we don't have any people already lined up to help us, we don't have a place to meet, I don't have a job, I don't have any place to live. But Lord, if you want us to go, we'll go. But would you have some people in place with us, ready to serve with us? And lo and behold, this couple was there Unbeknownst to us, we were praying for each other, and God brought us together. I could tell you story after story after story how God always has his people in place. Listen, if you're going through a storm right now, don't lose hope. Don't lose your joy. God has got some people in place for you right now. Will you tap into those people? Would you realize that God brings people in our lives to help us in our times of need? Well, here's the second reason that you can be joyful in the midst of a storm. God not only has his people in place, but God also has his prophets in place. We're going to drop down to verses 9 through 11. Much time had been lost, and they were sailing already, and it became very dangerous. By now, it was the Day of Atonement. That's toward the end of September in Paul's time. So Paul warns them. Paul gives this warning. He's speaking as a prophet. Now I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to the ship and to the cargo and to our lives also. But the centurion insisted. Instead of listening to Paul, he followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unstable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor and creek facing both southwest and northwest. Now, let me set the context of what is happening here. Here, they're getting ready to sail off with these 276 prisoners. And as they're ready to sail off, Paul says, guys, I don't think we should do this. I want to warn you that if we take this voyage, it's going to be disastrous. We're going to encounter a shipwreck. But they didn't listen to Paul. They took a consensus. The owner of the ship says, I want you to sail. And obviously, it's hurting him economically because he cannot cash in on the cost of transporting these goods and these individuals until the mission is complete. So he's looking at it purely as an economic decision. A majority of people says, let's do it. Let's go for it. I want you to know the majority is not always right. The majority is not always wrong. The majority is the majority. Paul cries out and warns them. They do not heed his warning. You know, the Bible throughout many instances talks about God sending his messenger. Malachi 3:1 actually prophesies John the Baptist coming. Malachi 3:1 says, see, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way of the people before me. See, God's talking about John the Baptist coming to prepare the way for the ministry of Christ. You know, the minority is not always right. The majority is not always right. But God is always right. God has somebody in your life that can speak to you through the storms of your life if you have enough sense to listen to them. Proverbs 12:15 says, the fool thinks his own way is right, but a wise man will listen to advice. Proverbs 12:15 says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end is destruction. Proverbs 11 verse 14 says, where there is no guidance, a people fall, but in the abundance of counselors, there is safety. Are you listening to godly people in your life today? You know, way back in February 6th of 2002, my dad passed away. That's been a long time. It's hard to believe that he passed away when I was just in my early 30s. I remember when my dad passed away, I said, you know, I'm much too young of a man to have lost my dad. You know, the thing I miss most about the passing of my dad was his godly advice. Every time I had a problem, I could pick up the phone and say, hey, Dad, what do you think I should do? As a matter of fact, my dad died just a few months after we had purchased the 35 acres that is now home of Hickory Ridge Community Church. And I remember doing my dad's funeral and thinking, Lord, here we just bought this land. And I said, I need my dad's advice now more than ever before as we begin building a church and begin establishing a ministry in the Hickory section of Chesapeake. I miss his godly advice. But you know, God always brings other people into your life that can speak into your life and give you that opportunity to respond and give you that opportunity to see the way of the Lord. Kind of reminds me of the story of a young rabbi. He found a serious problem in his new congregation. During one of the Friday services, half the congregation stood in prayers and the other half remained seated. And each side shouted at each other, insisting that theirs was the true tradition. Nothing the rabbi did or said could help solve this impasse. Finally, in desperation, the young rabbi sought out the synagogue's 99-year-old founder. He met the old rabbi in a nursing home and poured out his trouble. He says, now tell me, he pleaded, was it the tradition for the congregation to stand during the prayers, or was it the tradition of the congregation to sit during the prayers? But first he asks about standing. Is that the tradition? The rabbi says, well, no. Ah, responded the younger man. Then it was the tradition to sit during the prayers. No, responded the old rabbi. Well, the young rabbi responded, what we have is complete chaos. Half the people stand and shout, and the other half sit and scream. Ah, said the old rabbi, that was the tradition. I want you to know that your life is always going to be filled with turmoil. You can't get around it. But God always has his people in place. God always has his purpose in place, which leads me to the third point, that we ought to be joyful in the midst of storm because God also has his plans in order. Storms may take us by surprise, but God is never taken by surprise by a storm. As a matter of fact, he is always in the middle of the storm. Let's drop down to verse number 20. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. I love this. Paul is saying, I told you so. You didn't listen to me. He said, you could have spared yourself this damage and this loss if you had just listened to me. But he says, you didn't listen to me then, but maybe now you listen to me. He says, now I urge you to keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. He said, last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and who I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. Don't you love this? Paul is saying, you know what? I know we're going to be safe. We may lose this ship, but everybody on this ship is going to be safe because God has a plan for me. I'm going to stand trial before Caesar. And God's going to make sure I get there. And if you stay on this ship with me, he'll make sure that you'll get there as well. You see, God has graciously given the lives of all you who sail with me, Paul says. So take courage, men. Have faith in God that this will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground against some island. Paul is saying, listen, this ship is going to wreck, but we're going to be safe. Stay on board right now. Get yourself something to eat. We're going to be ready for this ship to be run up against this sandbar. You know, in Acts chapter 23, the Lord stands before Paul and he says, Paul, take courage. Now, this is a couple chapters before the shipwreck. He says, take courage as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify with me in Rome. And then an angel shows up and reminds Paul of what the Lord had already told them. Listen, God's plans are in place. I don't know why it took Paul so long to get to Rome. You see, God is good at kind of delaying plans and accelerating plans. You know, I didn't plan on being a pastor. I wanted to be a baseball player. Now, that didn't work out. Then I wanted to be a businessman. But God had other plans. You know, God has this incredible ability to bring calmness when we're in the midst of the storm. Paul knew he was going to be safe because the Lord gave him those words through an angel, and the angel is saying, do not be afraid. You're going to go before Caesar. You see, God has granted them to sail through and to be safe. God was going to protect them. You see, God knows the end. He can see over the horizon, and he can see for Paul, it's going to end for him in Rome. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch believer, and she lived in the Netherlands, and she hid Jews with her family during the Second World War. Her family was captured and sent to concentration camps. She had this very unique perspective on suffering and the will of God. She said this, if God sends you on a stony path, he provides you with strong shoes. You see, Paul didn't want to go on this missionary journey, but God was preparing him for it. Paul thought maybe he'd have a fourth missionary journey, but that didn't happen. This was going to be his last journey. It was going to end in Rome, and God was going to allow him to be incarcerated, but even his incarceration didn't change that. He got to Rome with all the expenses paid courtesy of the Roman government. You see, God is interested in economy too. He often will provide for us in the most unusual ways. You see, Paul seems to be anticipating the fact that his days are numbered. When Paul finally did get to Rome, he wrote to young Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he wrote these words, verses 6 through 8. I am ready and I'm willing to be poured out as a drink offering. and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me that crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to those who love his appearing. Oh, my friend, I want you to know that when you're in the storms of life, you can remain joyful because God has his people in place. God has his prophets in place. God has his plans in place. And number four, God has his provisions in place. We drop down to verse number 33. Just before dawn, Paul urges them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he says, you have not been eating. You have been in constant suspense. You've gone without food. He says, you haven't had anything to eat. He says, now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from your head. After he said this, he took some bread and he gave thanks in front of them. This is awesome. I want to encourage you, always be a testimony of the goodness of God. Paul is giving thanks to the Lord for this provision. They were afraid to eat. Some say they were seasick and they didn't want to eat. Some say their provisions were so sparse they didn't want to eat. But Paul gives thanks to the Lord and says, you guys got to eat. You got to be ready for what's going to happen here. Go ahead and get something to eat. He breaks the bread. He gives thanks for it. He encourages them to eat the food themselves. All together, there's 276 people on board. And when they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. Now, this is an amazing story that takes place. God is providing for his people. They are about to shipwreck. They're looking at where they are. They have dropped down the anchors. They've gone from 120 feet in depth to 90 feet in depth. And they realize as they're just off the shore of Malta that something is about to happen. Now, this is a graveyard of ships. As a matter of fact, if you ever looked on a map where Malta is, a kind of a landmass that's coming together, and it almost looks like two seas merging to one. It really isn't, but that's the appearance of what it is. As we look at this site, it is a site where professional sailors have often run up to these sandbars and shipwrecked. That's exactly what we're seeing taking place with the Apostle Paul. This particular place where the shipwreck that Paul experienced is taking place, it's got this feature. It's like a reef or a sandbar at a place where the two seas appear to come together. On the island, and there's a sandy beach that's in front of this island. According to some scholars, this is a place where these two seas meet together, and because of that, it's very shallow, and in times of storm, when the storm goes out, your ship will run up against the sandbar. As a matter of fact, there's a place called Four Anchors right there in Malta, which is a museum that features four prominent anchors that they have rescued out of this area of ships that have been run up to the sandbar. Well, this is where Paul finds himself. And this is a very interesting place because as you look at this place, we see that God is going to use this destruction to bring about blessing. Verse number 31, we see that there's a change in the storm. And Paul here is before the captain and he's sharing with him what's going to happen. And as the storm actually changes direction, now we discover the ship is in a big amount of trouble. So the Lord sends this angel to Paul and says, guys, hang in there. And he goes from the captain of the Lord of hosts to the captain of that ship. And Paul says, listen, we're going to be okay. We just got to stay in the ship right now until we actually wreck. And then once we wreck, we can jump out. But don't jump out early. Hang in there. If you get out too early, then you're going to be killed. Now, as you look at this, this is an important point when you're in the middle of the storm. Listen, if you don't have a green light, you see that it's a red light or a yellow light, just wait. Wait till the Lord turns that light to green. Don't get ahead of him. Don't get behind him. You know, I've learned this so many times. We have discovered sometimes we jump ahead of God and then we have this regret that we got ahead of him and sometimes we don't move fast enough. So Paul says, timing is everything. Listen, God's provision is there. God is going to take care of you at just the right time. Well, the fifth point that I want to share with you as we're getting toward the end of the broadcast is God has also his protection in place. Verses 42 to 44, we see that God is bringing about protection for his people. And I want to read this quickly to you as we conclude our time together. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion, that's Julius, that person that Paul established a friendship with, wanted to spare Paul's life, and he kept them from carrying out that plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to the land. The rest were to get on planks or other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached home safely. So here we see that God is protecting everybody on that ship as they listen to Paul and as they listen to Julius the centurion. You know, the righteous person may have many troubles. Psalm 34:19 says, but the Lord delivers them from them all. Oh, that ought to bring you some joy today. Are you living a righteous life and you're going through some troubles? Hey, don't get weary in your well-doing. God will deliver you in His way and in His time. He's got His people in place. He's got His provision in place. He's got His purpose in place. He's got His protection in place. Trust Him today and you make it through the storms of life. God bless you. Thank you for listening to the broadcast today.
For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.